to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam. And we're here to finish off our discussion of A Girl from Plainville. I've got a bit of a headache today. Yeah, I know what it was. Last night I got a letter in the mail because apparently there was a class action lawsuit against Walgreens for wage theft. I didn't read the finer details because, like, quite honestly, I don't care what they did. I just want to know how much I'm getting from it and how it's going to be taxed. That's the important thing to me, not the, well, here's what they did, like, that led to you getting the money. Because quite honestly, apparently, if that's settled, I don't give a fuck. But if it is, you know, filed and I get the money, that's fine. So I was squinting in the dark trying to read this, you know, paper, and that was not exactly the most intelligent thing to do on the planet, especially, and then the thing is, too, I fell asleep while doing it, so I fell asleep with my head at a weird angle, so my neck really, it's really my neck more than my head that's the problem. It's my, I got muscle tightness in the back of my neck, and that's radiating through my entire head. But enough about all of that. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about The Girl from Plainville, the final episode in which we find out what happened to Michelle Carter. Now, what this episode does for me is it highlights all the issues that I've had with this show over the course of its run. Namely, there are too many points over the course of the show where it felt like they were dragging out. And I like that, like, I love the way they portrayed the relationship. I love the way they portrayed the text exchanges between, what's his name? Between, Conrad and Michelle. The way they did that is great. And the way they portrayed Michelle's breaks from reality into her own fantasy world, all are really well done, interesting, and then not only that, they're also really, you know, like, unique to the show. It's not something you see on a lot of other shows, and I think that that's one of the benefits of this. Now, do I think the show is, you know, fundamentally flawed beyond that? Yeah, I think that in a world post, I would say the Defenders verse was the first real litany of shows where they do the standard order and you're like, well, this doesn't need to be this long. Like, the example I always go to is in Jessica Jones. I want to say it was like 2016, which is 6 years ago at this point. But in Jessica Jones, in season one, they have Kilgrave caught in one episode, and then he escapes and they have to go somewhere else, because they had a 12 or a 13 episode order. So, to say that, like, you know, this is an issue, like, they don't need to have these seasons be as long as they are. And we're seeing flexibility in episode length. Like, we're seeing flexibility there. So we're seeing more 8-episode seasons. Like, Moon Knight was just 6 episodes. The Dropout was 8, which felt perfect for that show. But really what it should be is, it shouldn't be, I'm saying this, I don't know if this is what happened, but it shouldn't be the, you know, the, what's it called? It shouldn't be that truck's coming in. What's today? Today's Tuesday. Like, a truck on Tuesday? Anyway, it shouldn't be that, okay, so we're getting an order for 8 episodes. We gotta string this out to be 8 episodes. And this show probably could have gotten away with 7. 7 would have been an ideal number for this show to function properly. Because I think that really, I feel like they give too much time to explaining Michelle's behavior, but at the same time, not enough. Like, one of the things I said was, there isn't
a moment of clarity for Michelle, for lack of a better word. There isn't a moment of resolve or steeling herself to what she has to do where it's like, okay, so what I'm going to do is this, and this is why it's going to happen. That moment doesn't exist in this show, and that's kind of a key moment for a show like this, is that we need the moment where she is, you know, okay, I need to, you know, I'm going to convince Conrad to kill himself. And I'm not saying she has to do this out loud and exposit it that way, but, like, I don't know, like, something that explains the behavior would be helpful. Because, like, at the end of the day, that's what we're watching for. We're here to watch this show because we want to see what this person did and why they did what they did. And if we're going to sit here and basically read court transcriptions of the case and have that be the entire basis, I mean, you're dramatizing it so more people will see it, but all you're doing is just, I could read the court transcriptions and get it that way, and get basically the same effect. And that's not a good way to run television, I don't think. I mean, what you end up with is, you end up with a show that is entirely dependent on people wanting to, you know, not wanting to read the court proceedings, and then from there, we'll hear what happened there. You're better off watching a documentary. But if we're going to dramatize it, give me that. Give me that little bit where, you know, and we see her with the neuroses with a friend, and we see her, you know, living these delusions and believing that she is this all-important thing. She's a giant narcissist. She thinks she's the protagonist of every, not only her life, but everyone around her. And it's like, you know, it reminds me of a tweet I saw where it's like, yes, but how does this affect me, the protagonist of reality? And that's kind of what Michelle is. She's that person who thinks that the world revolves around her. And that had it not been her, like, you know, that, like, everyone else has to, you know, their lives are around what she wants. And it's one of those things where it's like, It to say it's entirely wrong is inaccurate. Like, everyone, to an extent, is the protagonist of their own reality. But then once you start manipulating people, and once you start deluding yourself into thinking that relationships are different from what they are, that's where the problem sets in, and where you become diagnosable with, you know, I guess, I think they diagnosed her also with borderline personality, or antisocial personality, but she's also a narcissist. Like, because of how she acts. Fundamentally, that's a part of who she is and part of why she did what she did. But I feel like, you know, seeing the moment where she's like, well, why don't you just kill yourself, would have been a useful tool for this show. Because it would have been something where it's like, okay, well, we don't see her ever, you know, like, what's it called? We don't ever see her take that. We just see her start being like, well, you should do it. And I guess you can maybe make the case that she was like, well, I got my self-help, so maybe if I talk him into it. But the issue becomes like, well, then what's the nefarity of that? Like, we get a small glimpse of it, but the issue with that is, like, we get a small glimpse of her, but she's already using his suicidal tendencies at that point to garner support from other friends in her age group. And I think that that's a problem, because it's like, now we're viewing the behavior as not something that is, you know, not something that is new, or something, not something that is created for the, you know, that leads to a suicide. It is, you know, it is something that she was doing, and then she's like, oh, I can adapt this and make it different. If he kills himself, then I will be able to get more popularity and more support. It's that kind of thing. And I feel like, you know, telling Conrad's story in flashbacks backwards is, you know, it's kind of, you know, different. And telling it the way they did leading up to his suicide, as she leads up to her conviction, To dovetail the two stories like that feels weird, considering how she orchestrated his suicide. It's a weird decision. I'm not entirely sure why they would do that. What else was there? But yeah, I think that, like, you know, her whole thing going in for the eating disorder and going there is, you know, it's something where if they came in the second to last episode and were like, oh, and she had an eating disorder and that, and she was on these drugs, it's not something where it's like, you didn't show me that, and how do I know that? And it's like, well, you could have, you know, done without that. And I feel like a lot of, like, you know, at the end of the day, if you're trying to make the case, like, I understand why you have to show it, because it's like, I think I said it in one of the past episodes I discussed this, was like, Michelle pushed him off the ledge, but other things put him on the ledge to begin with. And you do have to look at what it was that led him to the ledge in the first place. And, like, you know, like, I guess we'll use the metaphor of how he had to kill himself. Like, he was in a car. Like, Michelle, like, he was in the car. Michelle told him to start the car and to actually kill himself. And she forced that along. But they were put, like, he got to that car through other means. What else is there? I think that's just about everything. I think we've covered everything that there is to cover with Girl from Plainville. I think that, you know, it's another, you know, it's passable. I'm not saying it's awful. That's the thing. I don't want to give off the impression that the show is unwatchable or the show is awful. Or that, you know, it's not worth the time to watch. I just feel like if you're watching the show to try and learn more, that this is not the show for you. There are documentaries on this, you know, HBO Max has I Love You Now Die, or I think is what it's called, which is a documentary about it. And look, everyone puts on a great performance. I don't know the kid's name who plays Conrad, only because I've never seen him in anything before. Like, I know, like, you know, I know Chloe Sevigny because she's been in a million things. Like, you know, she was in that movie, I think it was Greta was the name of the movie, but she was also in Big Love for 8 seasons, and, like, I'm familiar with her work. And then same goes for Ellie Fanning, because she was on The Great, and she had a few other notable screen titles. Oh, Teen Spirit, she was great in Teen Spirit, and she's a really great actress. But everyone who's acting in the show does a great job. It's very well shot. And the visual flares on how they portray, you know, conversations over text and her delusions, you know, all do a great job in driving home what happened, and making it explainable and very easy to understand how it all happened, with the notable exception of, and again, I feel like this is like a similar issue I had with The Dropout, where it's like, why did Elizabeth commit the fraud? And, you know, was it to make money, or was it she wanted to fund the Edison and this was the only way to do it, and then it kind of tumbled and tumbled and tumbled, and the tech was never there. And then, you know, there was also the question of, which is more explored in the show, would she have been as explored if she was a man? I would maintain probably not. And I would also maintain that it's the kind of story where if a man did it, there would be a... This is not a turning lane, motherfucker. If a man did it, they'd be up on stage doing a TED Talk 10 years from now. And it'd be a funny anecdote that... what's it called? That... Come on. It'd be a funny anecdote that they tell, you know, and it's like, oh, ha 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 ha, and no one cares. At the same time, the whole issue of the fraud, you know, they don't really explain what it is. I mean, they kind of make it seem like she kind of deluded herself into thinking it wasn't really a thing, but I don't exactly buy that explanation. But at the same time, on this show, like, I feel like they don't do enough to connect her popularity to her, to Conrad's misgivings. Because by the time they start doing that, she's already been trying to bait him into suicide at that point. So it's not like, it makes it, it adds a level of nefariousness to her actions, to be sure. And it kind of creates the indication that the writers of the show don't believe necessarily that she was, that she was doing it purely for popularity, that she's just, a killer. So it's an interesting kind of question that, I would like to see. Because that's the thing. It's like the timeline of the show is what I take issue with. It's the way it's, what the main thesis is doesn't line up with the supporting evidence, basically. The timeline, the supporting evidence. So we'll wrap up there for today. Under the Banner of Heaven, we're also going to catch up on. And I might start Strange New Worlds. I think they're only one episode into that, so I can probably catch up pretty easily. So until then, have a great rest of your week.